Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on April 8th, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
Hi, Kim.
Hello.
There we go.
Okay, we're on the air, people.
We're on the air. And so you can find out all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com. And producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. How are you enjoying this gray, damp day?
Oh, I love it. I love it. And the rain was really great. I actually took a walk in the rain yesterday.
You want to know something funny? A lot of people were. I had to run a couple of errands yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
And I went to the bank, and I was going back to my car in the parking lot, and I saw my neighbor from across the street. Walking along, and I stopped, and I said, "Hey, Dorothy, do you need a ride home?" She said, "No, I'm just enjoying taking a walk in the rain."
Yeah, it was very light and mild. You weren't going to get drenched, just a little bit moist, and it was pleasant. So
it was kind of all day too. That was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of fun.
Did you wear galoshes and a rain slicker and an umbrella?
No, but I did wear my fedora.
Oh, okay.
My new hat. I love my hat, and I got to wear it in the rain, and that was awesome.
Okay. Cool. Well, you know, we all enjoy the rain here, so.
Right. Yes, we should. And, you know, I'm just feeling, you know, a love for nature, because it's Earth Month, isn't it?
Yes, it is. April. It's a big month, yeah.
It's Earth Month, and I just, Mother Nature, Mother Earth, I just feel it.
I have an issue with that. I think that every month should be Earth Month. You know what I mean? Yes, it's nice to bring attention to something, you know, once a year, but I think that every day should be Earth Day, Earth Month. I think every day we should, you know, take care of our environment. So
yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, you know, and there's this great, development going on in Redondo. And Jackie, I just don't know anything about it.
Oh, you know what? Skip that.
Oh,
let's skip that for now. Yeah.
But
this is the Manhattan Beach show, so we're going to skip that. Yeah.
All right, good.
I will just mention that there is there's an open house Sunday. Center Cal Properties is doing an open house Sunday at Catalina Coffee.
Right.
And everybody is invited to come down and find out more about that waterfront project.
Right.
So I'll just mention that.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Okay.
So, Jackie, you know, it's Earth Month. We wanna celebrate properly. Is there a place for celebration? Who's our guest today?
There's actually plenty of places for celebration this month, but today, or this morning, our guest is Sona Coffee, Environmental Programs Manager for the City of Manhattan Beach. Now, Sona has led the City of Manhattan Beach's environmental programs for just over 7.5 years. She's a proud USC alumni with her graduate and master's degree from the Price School of Public Policy with an emphasis on environmental policy. She came to the city of Manhattan Beach after serving 5 years on the International Affairs and Trade team in the U.S. Government Accountability Office. Sona's passion for environmental protection started early with a love for the ocean and animals. Growing up, she was surrounded by a conservative ethic and volunteered for beach cleanups with Heal the Bay and tree plantings with tree people. That interest fueled her studies in environmental policy and culminated with a special screening of The Inconvenient Truth with Al Gore, which focused her interest in energy conservation and climate change. At the city, Sona is responsible for an ambitious environmental vision to unite the community in a comprehensive effort to promote sustainable living in the city of Manhattan Beach. This program includes work on climate and energy issues, water conservation, and developing policies to prevent pollutants from entering the marine environment, such as the plastic bag and polystyrene bins in the city. She coined the Breathe Free MB initiative, a significant piece of work which encompasses tobacco control and cigarette litter in an effort to protect public health. She strives to share her experience and passion for environmental protection with other cities and community groups and works closely with the South Bay Council of Governments, Manhattan Beach Unified School District, Manhattan Beach Botanic Garden, Grades of Green, Environmental Priorities Network, and Voice. She promotes green business interests through the South Bay Business Environmental Coalition and the annual Seed Awards. And in recognition of her work in the sustainability field, Sona is the recipient of the 2014 Green Leadership Award from the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors. She was appointed to the Long Beach Sustainable City Commission last year and is vice chair of Surfriders Long Beach chapter. She hopes to help the city meet the challenges associated with climate change while also restoring the shoreline ecosystem in the community. So, Joe, this morning we're going to discuss the 24th annual Earth Day celebration and concert, which will take place in Manhattan Beach at Pollywog Park on Saturday, April 30th, from 11 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon, in addition to a few other Earth Month events happening in Manhattan Beach. Welcome back to the program, Sona. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Good morning, Jackie and Joe. It's great to be back.
Good, great. Now, do you have a volume control on your phone there, Sona? Because we could use a little more volume.
Okay, so my volume is all the way up on this phone.
Okay.
Hopefully that'll work.
Okay, good. Well, then you'll just have to speak in your best opera voice.
Right. I can do that.
Okay. Well, it's a thrill to have you on the program, and Jackie and I were just talking about the fantastic concept of an environmental programs manager for the city of Manhattan Beach. Are there many cities that have such a position?
You know, there's starting to be more and more of it now. So when I started with the city, this was a brand new position, and there weren't any others like it in the South Bay. Now Hermosa Beach has an environmental programs manager. The Santa Monica, of course, they've had one. They've had a department for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But now we're seeing it, you know, starting to pick up in the other cities, and I think that's an exciting sign of the times, especially for me. So being the environmental manager, I'm biased. I agree with Jackie. I think, you know, every month should be Earth Month, but I think every day should be Earth Day. And I'm really happy when this month comes around. This is the time of year people really start to pay attention to, what is happening? What's going on in our environment? What can we do? How can we make a difference? So we try and capitalize on that as much as we can.
This is Sona's version of tax season for the accountants.
Right.
Right.
it's fantastic, and we're so thrilled to feature it on the show. And we want to make sure that we are approaching the subject properly. So we want to give you a chance to frame the discussion for us. Sona, what's the state of environmental programs in the South Bay and in Manhattan Beach in particular?
You know, I think it really varies from community to community, but on a whole, I think you'll see that the South Bay is really starting to lead the charge on a lot of environmental initiatives in the region. One good example of that is this effort to try and get our communities to move towards renewable energy, to go off the grid, you know, be fossil fuel free, and take actions that really will help reduce the carbon footprint, not just of the city or one community, but of the whole region. And so we're leading an effort here with the South Bay Cities called South Bay Clean Power, partnering with LA County. We're looking into the feasibility of this program called Community Choice. where it gives residents the option to buy green power instead of just sticking with the traditional power we buy from Edison. And so it's steps like that, but you're starting, you know, with small ideas in one city and kind of spreading from neighboring city to neighboring city. And then now at the level where we're working with the county to see, can we really do this, not just for our small pocket here in the South Bay, but for the whole region in LA County.
Now, does this have something to do with energy deregulation? Because there are many states, for instance, Texas comes to mind in particular, where any energy deregulation is fully implemented in gas and electric. If you are a resident of the state of Texas, you can choose the company that you sort of get your gas and electric from. Even though your utility doesn't change, your provider would change. The services are still provided by the one utility, but other companies provide, let's say, customer service. Is that something that you're talking about, or is it something different?
That is very right on point, Joe. We have in early 2000, I want to say two, there was legislation here that did the same thing to deregulate our markets, and so the energy industry doesn't have to be a monopoly anymore,
right,
technically. But in our area, we have one utility, Southern California Edison,
right,
and so right now customers only have the choice to purchase energy with their utility, unless cities like the City of Los Angeles, Pasadena, they form their own municipal utility, so they work directly with the residents. But the program would be the same. We would still use utility as our service provider. The billing would come from Edison. We would just have more options as customers here. So us as the residents that are paying our electricity bill,
right,
we then would be able to choose, I want to go 20% electric or 50% renewable or 100% renewable,
right,
which we don't have that choice right now.
Now it's a little confusing how this works, but Jackie, I think we had someone on the program at one time. They're located in Manhattan Beach, and they are a broker of carbon credits. And the way it works is very similar to the stock market in a way, but an individual homeowner can actually purchase carbon credits. They're a little bit more expensive. Some are about the same, but they ensure that you are purchasing you're arbitrating against carbon credits that allow utilities and other entities to ensure that coal is not being used and oil-fired plants are not being used, and that more solar is being used and more wind is being used, and that's how it's done.
But okay, so what you're saying is, now it's not available here right now, but let's just pretend it is for a second.
Right.
I can say to SoCal Edison, I want to use 40%. I want 40% of my electricity to be generated by wind power, say.
Right.
And then they have to contract with some wind power company so that that 40% or whatever the percentage is going to my house. But I'm guessing that's going to cost more money, right?
That's the great part about it, actually, is that the programs that are already running it in Northern California, so in Marin County and Sonoma County, they're running these programs, and the customers are actually paying less. So they're saving on their electricity bill, but they're getting that 40% renewable energy. You know, they're getting that 100%. Well, if you go higher, it does get a little more expensive. So if you go to 100%, you will end up paying a little bit more.
Okay.
But then for the people that are trying to go completely off the grid, they don't mind paying that extra couple dollars a month for the energy.
And this is different. This will supplement, say, the people that – this is if you don't want to go through the trouble of inserting solar panels on your roof or a windmill in your backyard, you know, in your backyard or something, right?
Right, exactly.
So this is – all right, okay, all right. So it's options. So when are we getting it?
Right. So we're working with the county right now. We're expecting the feasibility study to come back by the end of this month. And so the feasibility study looks at all the options to make sure, you know, the demand is there, which I think it is. Our customers here, our residents in these communities want this program.
Right.
And then to see, you know, how much would it cost? And what would the rates be? What are the potential that we would be asking people to pay? And so our goal is that the rates come in at a rate that's either comparable or lower to what we're already paying Edison. Because that way it makes the program an easy transition for people to say, okay, well, there's no change. I'm not paying anything different, and I'm getting cleaner power. Sure, why not? Let's do this.
Right.
As opposed to investing thousands of dollars in installing your own solar panels, right?
Right, right.
Right. Yes. Now, I think in the future we'll be able to see if businesses install solar, residents install solar, then they become local providers. So instead of buying those renewable energy credits in an area that's not here in California, we would have more local sources of renewable energy, where then that feeds back into the program as another source to fill this portfolio of renewables in Southern California.
So what you're saying is, say, somebody installs, say, local business, say Skechers, just for say Skechers and covered their building in solar panels that was generating electricity, and that could be used through SoCal to power local homes.
Yes, so if they build a big enough system, they could generate enough power to run their facility, and then any excess that they're being, they could sell that back on the grid, so they become a provider in this new South Bay clean power effort.
Right.
And so there are businesses that are moving in that direction. The Manhattan Beach Studios, they put on a great solar display there that runs one of their facilities. So there's businesses that are already moving in that direction. Mm-hmm. So we'd hope to facilitate that kind of effort with this program.
I was driving someplace a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember exactly. It might have been Cal State Long Beach. I was driving by, but anyway, wherever it was, there was a giant parking lot, and a bunch of it was covered. The cars had covers, like awnings over the cars. And on top of the awnings, there were solar panels.
Right.
Oh, right.
Am I thinking, is it Cal State Long Beach, or am I imagining that?
Dominguez Hills?
You around here, too.
Yeah,
anyway, I was on a freeway or something, and I saw it. Anyway, that sounds – I would imagine that that would be something that any of the larger businesses in the South Bay, that if they were going to new businesses or older businesses remodeling or something, that would be something that could be built in,
Right. Yes. And there's these things that they can get paid for through the project, so you don't have to outlay the capital to go build a solar system.
Right.
Like our high school, Miracosta High School, is getting exactly what Jackie was talking about with the covered awning, the solar carports in the high school parking lot.
Right.
So it's exciting to see these things starting to happen in the community here.
I remember, Jackie, we had the superintendent of Redondo Beach School District on, and he indicated that the number was around $750,000 a year, Jackie, that they're saving. It's
right.
It's incredible.
Right. You're right. Yeah.
I mean, that's real money.
Mm-hmm.
$750,000 a year. That's real money. And the reason that the savings are so vast is because they are contracted with a company that installs the solar. They don't actually buy the solar panels. They just contracted with the company to buy the power. So they buy the power at a low rate, and it's fixed for so many years. And then, of course, they are off the grid in many cases, many times of the day, and it saves tremendous amounts of money.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. Well, Sona, there's so many different things to talk about, but tell us some of the larger, top three initiatives that you're currently involved with the city of Manhattan Beach.
Oh, yeah. So that was definitely one of them on the energy front and things to help climate change and renewables. Jackie mentioned this earlier. We have a mission here. We want to unite the community in a comprehensive effort to promote sustainable living in the city of Manhattan Beach. And so that it's broad because it gives us the opportunity to target every piece of someone's life. Like, how can you really take an action or make a change that is promoting sustainability in the way you lead your lives every day? And the renewables, energy conservation, that's one of them. We're looking also, water conservation is big. Because we've had a drought for such a long time here in the state, and even though, we had some rain today, we had a little bit of rain yesterday, that doesn't solve the problem for the state. So the city's still promoting water conservation and trying to get people to really focus on, saving water in your house, but also looking outside at sustainable landscaping to see how can you make changes to your property that would help conserve water.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last big thing we're working on is really more in the public health realm, but it's the Breathe Free MB initiative. And so that started off as, smoke-free outdoor public places Mm-hmm. And then that's grown now to smoke-free multi-unit housing and now tobacco retail permitting program, which would control the types of products you can sell here in the city.
Now, what kinds of products are not not acceptable, but what kinds of products would be regulated versus other products not being regulated?
So the purpose of that program, you know, it started off with this initiative to prevent litter, so to prevent cigarette butts that are ending up on our streets, and people are outside in the alleys or in front of a restaurant and smoking and dropping those things on the ground, and they wash out onto our beach and into the ocean. So mm-hmm. It started off with that type of a movement, and now it's moved more into the public health arena, where we're seeing now the popularity of electronic cigarettes mm-hmm. and the popularity of those e-cigs with teens. And so minors are definitely not supposed to be smoking, period, and we don't want them starting to use e-cigarettes, because that's the studies have shown that kids who start that will end up smoking within a year.
Hmm.
And so we're targeting the flavored electronic cigarettes in this city. So if you are a gas station or the grocery store, you cannot sell flavored e-cigs anymore. We have made an exception for the mint and menthol flavors, but all the strawberry, bubblegum, candy-flavored e-cigs, those are not allowed unless the store is 18 and over. So if you're a smoke shop or one of the vape shops that check ID for all their customers, that's allowed. But for anywhere else, you can't do it.
Okay, so now that seems like a fine line. I mean, because, first of all, I've been arguing with my wife forever mm-hmm. about the health effects of e-cigs. I contend, you know, I just want to be upfront about the health benefits of, I'd rather someone smoke an e-cig, which is mm-hmm. only a flavored liquid and it has nicotine in it, than to smoke a cigarette, which has, among other, 150 different chemicals, formaldehyde in cigarettes. So I'd rather someone do the e-cig than the cigarettes, but they are, what do they say now that the commercials, well, the commercials they're running say that children that smoke e-cigs are three times more likely to smoke cigarettes later. So,
also, I think a misconception that the e-cigarettes are healthier than cigarettes, and it's great marketing on the behalf of the e-cig companies.
Yes.
Electronic cigarettes have a whole host of chemicals in them, just like the tobacco, just like the nicotine-based cigarettes do. Mm. And that's the part that people think, oh, you know, it's water vapor that's coming out of there. You know, it's fine. There's no chemicals.
Right.
But that's one of the biggest, I think, myths surrounding electronic cigarettes, is that they are, they do have just as many chemicals, and they have not been FDA regulated yet. So we don't really know what's in there.
All right. My wife is going to love this show.
Yes. Let her know all about it. She can tell you she told you so.
Well, you know, I want to bring this up too, because since we're on the whole smoking topic, now, I find it interesting that the anti-smoking campaign has been going on for a long, long time.
Long time.
It started in the 70s, early 70s or something like that.
Okay.
That's been going on for a long time. But as we all know now, Colorado and Washington State were the two first states to legalize marijuana for recreational uses.
Right.
All right. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, when something like this happens, the cat's out of the bag, right? There's no putting the cat back in the bag, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that eventually pretty much every state in the union is going to legalize marijuana, you know, for recreational uses
mm-hmm.
for any number of reasons, mm-hmm. one of the big ones being the taxes the government is going to get from it. You know, it's a candy store for them. It didn't pass the last time around in California. But I believe that somewhere down the road it's going to happen. So the juxtaposition of legalizing marijuana recreational use and the anti-tobacco campaign, how does that work, Sona? Do you see what I'm talking about? On one end, everybody's promoting this, and it is smoking. And on the other end, everybody's trying to tamp down the smoke. So where do you see that going?
Right. So I can only speak to that in terms of how it impacts, you know, the ordinance we have in place. That's a whole other policy discussion on whether or not mm-hmm. we want to legalize marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
But for us in the ordinance, the way we dealt with it, you know, medical marijuana, just like any state approved, if you have a medical marijuana prescription, that would still be allowed. However, we're encouraging people to be respectful and mindful of your neighbors instead of smoking And you don't have to smoke medical marijuana. You can get the pills, you can get it prescribed in other formats that you can still take to have the benefit if that's what you're looking for from it, and then not having smoke that then impacts your neighbors and causes complaints from people that are smoking in their units.
I have to ask, so, and you may not even know about this being Washington and Colorado, but when a state makes it legal, because I know that there are laws in place in the South Bay where they will not allow marijuana dispensaries to open. I know that individual cities have made laws that don't allow dispensaries to be open. But if the state approves it and makes it legal, do those laws still have any effect?
Oh, you know, that's an interesting question. That's probably a better one for our attorney's office to decipher. But it depends, I think, on the legislation. So in some cases, if cities have policies in place, those may be able to stay in effect. But if the state has a stronger law that's being passed, that might trump whatever the city has in place already. So it would depend on the ordinance that gets passed and if they allow the city policies to be grandfathered in, or if cities now have to come online with whatever it is the state puts in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just imagining the world being turned upside down, where there's going to come a day where everybody can smoke marijuana on the streets, but you can't smoke a pipe or a cigar or a cigarette. I've been thinking about this since this, you know, Colorado and Washington passed that. I find it fascinating.
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion for sure.
Now, one of the things you mentioned, sustainable landscaping, and I have a very good friend who you may know, Mike Garcia of Enviroscape LA.
Yeah, yes, Mike's great. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Mike is great, and Enviroscape LA is great, his company, and he's very, I would say, conservative in his approach to his business. I mean, he does sustainable landscaping as a business. He's very involved in water conservation and so forth. But I've been trying to get him to lean more towards edible landscapes. And, we talk about this often, and I just talked to him about it yesterday or the day before. It's a struggle, though, because there are expenses. Some clients don't want to really get into the expenses, and beyond the expenses, it's work. It takes work. Sustainable landscapes are often, you know, almost set it and forget it. You don't even have to water anymore, so it's just like you don't do anything. But edible landscapes, they require, you know, tending and
a lot more water.
You can arrange it so that they are drip irrigated, you can use ollas. Do you know about ollas, Jackie?
Never heard of it.
Olla is a Spanish name for basically an unfired clay pot, so it's porous. You bury it in your garden, and they're often very very bulbous in the middle and narrow at the top, and they have a lid. And so you fill it with water, and it slowly leaches out the water over time, and it's a very efficient way of watering your garden, and especially for edible gardening, it keeps your vegetables very, very happy, and it's very water efficient. And then there's the wicking beds, which are fantastic, and that's really what Mike and I love best, which started in Australia, where you have a bed of rocks at the bottom of your raised bed garden, and it's a few inches tall, and then you fill that reservoir at the bottom with water, and then the water slowly wicks up. That's why it's called a wicking bed. Wicks up to feed your plants with water, and you water basically once a week, and you never overwater or underwater, and it's very water efficient. Having said all that, are we encouraging edible landscapes, Sonia, in the city?
Yes, definitely. We actually partner with the Botanical Garden. They put together a great series of classes each fall and in the spring, and their spring classes are actually starting off this Saturday. So if people are interested in learning more about this, from experts for free. You can go to the Botanical Garden. The classes are every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. The first one is called Ask the Arborist, and you know they're going to talk about tree health, but also about which trees you can plant for fruit. So if you want to start an orchard in your backyard or your front yard,
right,
they'll give you some advice on the type of fruit trees to plant. Botanical Garden, they also do a class on sustainable edibles, so on planting fruits and vegetables that really grow the best here in our climate, so in our coastal climate. You can get information on, you know, which ones to plant, what type of fertilizer do you need, how much water do they take, and really get some expert advice on what to plant together. Because some plants are beneficial. Different vegetables will help the other vegetables grow. You can plant some flowers next to them to keep the little critters and bugs away.
Right.
So there's all sorts of really interesting and helpful tips on how to become your own backyard gardener.
Now, Jackie, do you use rosemary in your cooking at all? Or
it's one of my favorite herbs, but before we get to that, I have to ask. I read in your bio, Sona, the Manhattan Beach Botanic Garden. Where is that?
Oh, yeah. So they are actually right on the west end of Pollywog Park. So if you're driving down Manhattan Beach Boulevard, you make a left onto Peck if you're heading east, if you're heading away from the ocean. And right on the left edge of that park, on the west end there's
right,
a great parking lot. It's right next to the Unified School District maintenance lot there. And then you walk in the garden, and it's like walking into this oasis. It's a beautifully well-maintained garden.
Right.
All sorts of natives, definitely California natives that you can see there, and walking pads to walk around, a little bubbling brook. They've got a recycling watered fountain there. It's very well done and a great place to go and just hang out. Besides going to the classes, you can go take your lunch and sit and enjoy the garden.
Oh, how big of a facility is it?
No, it's not very big. Oh, I don't know. I'm going to say an acre. I know not even half an acre. I don't know how you would quantify. You can walk around the whole thing in 5 minutes. It's
right,
not all
right.
That.
Right.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I was not aware of it. I'm aware of the South Coast Botanic Garden, which is a huge piece of property up on the hill. Yeah.
Right.
When it said Manhattan Botanical Garden, I was like, well, where is that?
Hmm. Right.
Okay, back to your rosemary question.
Rosemary. I have a rosemary bush in my front yard, and you cannot kill that thing. You just can't. I mean, and I regularly sort of trim it and cut it back just to keep it from taking over. It grows wonderfully, and my neighbor, who loves to create his own dry rubs for his steaks, will often come out and snip some rosemary, and he just uses it as part of his dry rub for his steaks. And it's awesome. You can have an edible landscape. And if you have a significant size yard, don't grow grass, grow food.
Yeah, yeah. No. Well, actually, I grow stuff during the growing season, you know that.
Right. I do.
And I have half a dozen herbs that I grow, and rosemary, I always get one or two of those because I use it so much. But they tend to get woody, don't they, after a while?
Plants themselves?
Yeah.
Very much so. Those things are very prolific.
Yeah, and be careful. You don't want to put mint in the ground. That'll take over everything. I know that.
Yes, it will. It's
anyway.
So this is wonderful, Sonia. We love talking about this. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be right back with Sona Coffey, the Environmental Programs Manager for the City of Manhattan Beach. And this is the discussion that we should all be having in Earth Month, the month of April. And, of course, we're talking about the Earth Day celebration in Manhattan Beach at Pollywog Park coming up this 30th of April from 11 to 4 p.m., 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can find out more. We'll give you the links to find out more and a phone number. It's the 24th annual Earth Day celebration and concert. It's going to be a blast, and you can meet all your neighbors who are really into conservation and maybe edible landscaping, and you can go and nosh on your neighbor's edible
rosemary bush.
Rosemary bush. Exactly. And if you have a question or comment, we'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. Please give us a call, and we'd love to have your comment or question. So, Sonia, now we have such a beautiful place that we live in the South Bay. It's dominated by far by this great big, you know, body of water, the largest ocean on the planet, the Pacific Ocean, and it's a beautiful place to live. Do you see more environmental issues in the South Bay that need to be addressed that perhaps the typical resident doesn't know about, or do we have a handle on it?
Oh, I think we have a handle on it, and a big part of it is because we have residents here. The community here is so invested in it. You know, the ocean, the beach, it's our backyard, and so people are definitely aware if there's trash washing up on the beach. You know, we had last year the refuge of the oil spills. We had the tar balls washing up on the beach.
Right.
There were, you know, different things that happened. They let us know about it right away. So I think we do have a pretty good handle on issues and things that pop up here, and we do. The response is always really well done here.
People
are committed to doing it.
We had an issue just last year with the oil wells that were going to be drilled in Hermosa Beach, and that was voted down. And from all accounts, that issue is dead forever. There will be no drilling for oil in Hermosa Beach, even though during that time, we remember, I think many people, there were newspaper ads from the company. It was E&B Oil. Newspaper ads showing all the oil wells that had been drilled in the 20s and the 30s in Manhattan Beach, and them saying, well, you know, oil drilling in Manhattan Beach has been here forever, and it's not a bad thing. Well, it was just so disingenuous because all those oil wells were capped, you know, 50 years ago. And
now we have homes and schools.
Right.
Those pictures, it was just bare land with oil wells on. There were no buildings. There was no community or anything.
It was the most disingenuous advertising campaign ever. And so now tell us about the state of things in terms of, like, even oil drilling. I know it's not going to happen in Hermosa ever. That's done. But are there other initiatives around the South Bay where people are trying to drill for oil?
So there's something happening in the region now, and it's looking at exactly what you mentioned, the oil wells that were closed off, but now companies are starting to look at those as sites to start hydraulic fracturing or fracking. And so there's a really good, it's a 5-minute documentary. It's on Food and Water Watch. It's called Dear Governor Brown. And this movie is something that, the full length feature is something that Mark Ruffalo, the actor, is really behind the climate change initiative. So they did one in New York. They're doing one here in California, Dear Governor Brown. And what they've done is 5-minute segments for each county. So if you go on the Food and Water Watch website, you can click on the LA County one. And they talk exactly about this issue where, you know, you mentioned there's schools, there's homes now around these communities where the oil wells are no longer, you know, in existence, so we think, but now the movement is to start fracking from these, and you have communities that are here around them. And we all saw what happened in Porter Ranch. When you have a leak, it's not a good thing.
Right.
It would be very wary of that type of advertising where they say it's a good thing and nothing bad will ever come of it.
Have you guys read, I think it was in Time Magazine. Yes, I still get magazines. I was reading an article a couple of weeks ago about how Oklahoma historically had like 6 earthquakes a year. And now since they've started fracking, it's like 6,000 a year. What's happening there is unbelievable.
It is changing the geology
of the
areas where in which fracking is occurring, and this is also happening back east in places that historically, had no earthquakes. I mean, in places like Connecticut and so forth that really did not have any earthquakes, or Pennsylvania prior to this, and now they're starting to get tremors of various kinds as the sediment or as the layers settle. After being literally,
are they out of their minds to think that? I mean, it's one thing if you go out in the middle of nowhere,
right?
Go out to the Badlands of Dakotas,
right?
And there's nobody there, there's no communities or whatever, and you go around and you mess with the geology. Could they seriously think that anybody would allow that to happen in a community? Oh, my God. In a densely populated community? Oh, my
right.
goodness.
Right. It's quite a battle being begun.
Right. So the city of Los Angeles saw that there was, you know, a lot of work that needed to be done in this area, and someone that needed to be there full time to keep an eye on it. And they put back in place, we're calling it a gas czar. It's an LA oil position that the city's hired to put someone in charge of looking over all these petroleum administration types of issues that might pop up. So there's, I think, a lot of the incidents that have happened in the previous years have really made people pay attention to it and want to understand, you know, what is happening in our communities.
Right.
Wow. You know, this has been fascinating. We've gone off on all sorts of tangents in the last 40 minutes, but tell us about the Earth Day celebration and concert, because that's a big event every year.
Yes. So this will be the 24th annual Earth Day celebration at Pollywog Park. This initiative, it amazes me every year because it is coordinated and put together by volunteers. So the Voice organization, great partners here in the South Bay, volunteers from all the cities in the area. They organize, they get together the vendors, find entertainment, and this is really done in partnership with our Parks and Recreation Department. The Parks Department is taking a larger role this year in helping, you know, get the bands, find the food and the entertainment, and do all the fun stuff that goes along with making it a big festival. But at the heart of it, it's really providing opportunities for community members to come in and walk through the fair. We have about 70 to 75 vendors that participate each year and learn about, you know, different environmental topics from the nonprofits that participate, learn about solar from the solar companies that are there, and then buy eco-friendly items from the artisans and craftspeople that are there. So it's a really fun mix of things that are, you know, educational, but then also trying to help people buy things and do things that are really going to help them get to be more sustainable in their daily lives.
And live music.
And live music, for sure. Live music for the kids. There's always a kids' music artist, so the little ones can get up there and dance right in front of the stage. Right. And then they always have great bands, too, throughout the day.
Wow.
And this year, we're doing an eco-education stage. So we'll have a side stage with three short speakers throughout the day. And actually, Mike Garcia is going to be one of them, and he'll talk about sustainable landscaping, water-wise gardening, and all that good stuff.
Mike is amazing. His home in Redondo Beach is a show palace of sustainable gardening, and he has a koi pond, in which the fish waste are recycled through his garden to power his garden. If you know about this concept of using fish waste to power gardens, it's just amazing. And he has chickens, and he's doing really well. He has an amazing wife, and she's 100% on board with his passions for the earth, and he's a great friend. So now I have to ask, Sona, are there positions or spots open if more vendors want to get involved in the Earth Day celebration?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we're definitely looking for more businesses to participate. And they can go onto the city's website. It's, you know, cityndb.info. And our Parks and Recreation Department has a special events tab, and that's where you can apply online for the form, for the application form. Also on the Voice website, greenervoice.org, and they've got a link for Earth Day vendors that takes you to the application form. There's no fee for nonprofits to participate in the event. For our other vendors, it's a nominal, I think $60 is the application fee.
$60?
Yes.
I'm
definitely
in.
Affordable.
I'm in. See, Jackie, I knew there would be an opportunity.
There you go.
Cool. I'm in.
And what other Earth Day events are taking place throughout the city of Manhattan Beach? Because I know there's other stuff.
Yeah, so throughout the month, like I said, we try and capitalize on the interest around Earth Day and Earth Month. And so starting, like I mentioned, this Saturday, the botanical garden classes are happening. The following week, so Monday, April 18th, we've got a really unique partnership with our new library, and actually the library system here with the Beach Cities. It's called the Beach Cities Read Program. And so what they're doing is promoting like a book club type of event where they want people to read this book called Plastic Ocean by Captain Charles Moore. And if you've heard of the Algaleta Research Foundation, they discovered the plastic garbage patch, you know, the floating islands of trash that we have around the world. And so he wrote a book about it called Plastic Ocean, and he's actually going to come talk about that on Monday the 18th at the Manhattan Beach Library at 7 o'clock. So folks can come in and listen to really everything that he found out. And I've heard he's a very interesting character. He may show up in a suit made of trash from the plastic soup out there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, something different to see. But we're taking that idea and really putting it into action. So this book to action event where we read about it, we learn about it from Captain Moore, and then we go to the beach on Saturday, April 23rd, and we do a beach cleanup to keep all of that plastic junk from ending up into the ocean. So clean up the beach around the pier. We're going to meet at the south side of the pier with the Surfrider Foundation from 10 a.m. to noon on the 23rd to do that cleanup. And we'll be looking at to make it a fun community event with, you know, kids of all ages coming out there to help us keep the beach clean.
That's fascinating. I've heard about those. What did you call them? Plastic islands out there in the ocean?
Or gyres?
Gyres. Yeah, yeah. I've seen video of it, and it's just amazing. We're not just talking plastic milk jugs. We're talking containers that fell off ships.
Yeah.
Homes, bridges, huge pieces of infrastructure that get caught in what, like a whirlpool type of thing? That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing, and it's a little scary to see the impacts of our purchases, so our buying choices, what we do, the packaging that ends up, the resources involved, and then how that impacts the environment around us and what ends up in the ocean. It all can change with just what you decide to buy, how you decide to reuse your items, what you decide to throw out or recycle. If we're hoping to be able to show people, you know, through this effort, to really understand, we are responsible for it, so we need to make the changes for it now.
Oh, don't get me started on packaging. Do not get me started on packaging. It's ridiculous. Joe, when I go over to different stores, I'll pick up stuff for my husband, like his razor blades, and they come in packaging that you cannot open.
Yes. There are memes, videos that show you how to open it more efficiently, but it's still very difficult.
And it's so much.
Yeah.
It's this huge packaging for this one little thing, you know? It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
I hate packaging too.
Yeah.
What did we do before there was packaging?
Right?
It was before my time. Does anybody know what they did before packaging?
No.
I think things used to be wrapped up in, you know, a piece of brown paper that you would reuse for a while, or newspaper at the local store, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Wow.
There is a movement statewide to try and get, it's called extended producer responsibility. To trying to get the big corporations that are, you know, putting all that stuff out, putting all the packaging out, to take it back. So we think we put it in the blue bin and it gets recycled, you know, problem solved. But the kind of sad truth about recycling is if there's not a market for those materials, those things aren't getting recycled. So if we can't have packaging that's too difficult to recycle, you know, the razor company should take it back and repurpose it for their future products.
Sona, we had last year we had somebody on from one of the waste management companies, Joe.
Yeah.
I don't remember which one because we've had a couple because that's a fascinating conversation.
Right.
What happens with our waste? Yeah. And this one woman was explaining to us about how so much of our stuff that goes into our recycling bins just doesn't get used again. You know, what was she saying? Going back to glass and wood product, things that can actually be reused, because a lot of that other stuff doesn't have a market, as Sona was just saying.
And for people that are interested in finding out about the waste world and the waste streams, we do tours with our waste hauler, waste management. They're not till the fall. They're not till like September, October. We have – and November also. We have one each month. But we take people out to the transfer facility so they can see the process, how the bags get ripped open, what gets sorted, where it goes. It's an interesting tour. It's not something you get to do every day, go to a trash facility.
Right.
But it's actually really, really interesting. And this year, because we have the new food waste recycling program, and so this one, I'm not sure if you are familiar with it, but in Manhattan Beach, residents and businesses can now recycle all their food waste. So that food doesn't have to get thrown into the landfill anymore. It gets sent to this facility in Orange County called the Core. And what they do is they take that food waste, they turn it into like a bio sludge, this bio slurry, which then comes back to Carson and generates energy at the Carson Wastewater Treatment Facility right here in the South Bay. It's a way for us to take that food that would have been wasted and sent to the landfill and create a local source of renewable energy here in the community. And so we're excited about it, and we want residents to learn about it and go on the tour and find out why it's important to make sure not to throw your food in trash cans anymore.
Yeah, no, that's who we had on. It was somebody from Waste Management. I'm sorry, I'm just forgetting her name. And she told us about that.
Yeah,
they are great.
For the community.
Wonderful, wonderful organization. I'm sure you're very pleased as the environmental programs manager to be working with Waste Management. They are so on it from the CEO on down. They see their future. Literally, the CEO says that the future of Waste Management is as an energy producer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just so right on.
Forward thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. You know, this initiative where they're going to be using the waste that they collect to produce natural gas, and that natural gas is going to power all of their trucks.
Oh, yeah,
That's the in the plans and the works already.
That's great. And you know, I should also mention, I saw on the front page of one of the local papers yesterday that Hermosa Beach just recently put their plastic bag ban into effect. Sona, do you know about that?
Yeah, just April 1st, that kicked off. And so that was a good move. I know there was a lot of support in the community for having a plastic bag initiative come forward. And this one follows along. I think a lot of communities were waiting for the state legislation to get passed. But when that effort got put on hold and that referendum is now coming to the ballot in November, Hermosa Beach was the first city to say, you know what, well, we're going to go ahead and pass our own plastic bag ordinance. Because all these issues are going on with the state bill, we don't need to wait. We're going to do it on our own. So it was a really good step for them to take.
I like it. I would think that from what I understand, the ban went into effect April 1st for stores over 10,000 square feet, I think it was, and then the smaller businesses will have another several months for it to go into effect for them. But you got to think, don't they spend an awful lot of money on buying those plastic bags? So I would think that they would be on board with it too.
Yes, I think the grocery store associations were supportive of it. And when we were going through the ordinance part, the grocery stores were good partners. The opponents, of course, were the plastic bag industry. So we had the Save the Plastic Bag industry, which the city had to fight all the way. You know, we took it all the way to the Supreme Court to say that our city has the right to pass this type of legislation.
It's something I never heard, the plastic bag industry. I've never heard that term. where are they located?
Not in California. Yeah, they're not here.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, it's been fascinating having you on the program. I just
always, always. We always get good stuff from Sona.
We do. We always do. Fridays are good, have been really good lately. What are some of the things, Sona, that you see going forward, some of the things that maybe aren't happening right now but that you're looking forward to in terms of the environment and environmental programs in the South Bay in general or Manhattan Beach in particular?
Oh, yeah. You know, starting in Manhattan Beach, you know, we're just going through the process right now of getting an energy audit done for the city facilities, which on its own, okay, that sounds kind of boring, just looking at energy efficiency. But we are using this as a platform to put together an energy plan for the community. And so we're asking our consultants that are going to be working on this to look at the potential for solar in the city. We don't have any municipal solar facilities yet. There's no solar installations on our properties. And so I think that's kind of a huge gap where we're missing right now. Other communities are already doing this. Our school district is doing this. So there's a potential there for us to move into that area and get some solar up, and either as a display to show the community how it works, and then also for practicality point, if we can tie it into our, you know, an energy grid or a backup energy storage, so when we have power outages here, which happen pretty frequently in the South Bay, that we can still keep our emergency facilities and everything running up and running without having to resort to fossil fuels. So that's an exciting, I think, trend we're waiting to start here in the city. And the other big one I think that's coming, and people have heard about this in the news with all the popularity around Tesla, that are electric vehicle infrastructure. So we have a few free charging stations in the city. We have a few that are metered, you know, parking meter charging stations. And I know the demand is there because every time we go by the stations, they're full. And EVs are popular in the community, and EVs are popular with the visitors that are coming to this community and looking for a place to charge. So I'd like to see more EV stations going up in places where people can use them. And, you know, it's the challenge with us is parking is limited, and parking is a hot topic here in the beach cities. But I know our other beach cities are doing the same thing. They're installing them when they can. We're getting grant funding to put them in. Hermosa Beach got a fast charging station, I believe, with a grant on one of their parking facilities. And you can plug in, get charged in 20, 30 minutes, have a cup of coffee, and then off you go.
Right.
So we're looking to start emphasizing a little bit more and getting ready for the influx of more EVs that I see coming to this community.
Oh, Sona, half a dozen of my friends stood in that line and put down their deposit.
Oh, right.
I don't know when they're expecting delivery, but when it happens, man, we're going to need a lot more charging stations.
Yes, that's right.
When what happens, Jackie?
Tesla.
Oh, you mean the Model 3?
Well, yeah,
Model 3.
Half a dozen of my friends that live right here in the South Bay
were
in the – I mean, there are probably more that I don't know about that have put down their deposit. We're going to have a huge influx of electric vehicles.
It's 35,000. It's very affordable.
Well, what they're saying is with all the grants and the credits and blah, 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 you can get – it comes out to about 25,000.
Right. Wow.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was going to be that much lower.
Yeah. So we're going to have a huge influx of electric vehicles in the South Bay.
Right.
Yes.
You know?
Definitely.
Now, I just want to find out, Sona, where on the city's website would I be able to apply for a spot at the Earth Day celebration as a business?
Oh, yes. So as a business, there's a couple places, probably the easiest to go to, right on our homepage, and I'll make sure we get the link up, the direct link to it. We have citymb.info/sustainablemb.
Takes
you directly to our Going Green website. Or if you're already on the homepage, there is a Going Green icon, a little green leaf that you can click on, and that'll take us to the website. Usually the Earth Day event doesn't pop up until we get closer to it, so I'll make sure that it's popped on there now so folks will go on. They can click on Earth Day, and that'll show them the link to the vendor application.
Oh, is that green leaf going to stay there?
It's on. I think it's on my website already. I think I have the direct link already.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I love the green leaf at citymb.info. That's fantastic.
Right. I know.
Do you have a green leaf on your website, Jackie?
No, I don't. No, but I'm working on a new logo, so we'll see what happens.
Okay.
All right. All right, we got to wrap this up.
We do.
Before I let you guys go, I want to mention one more thing, because it is Earth Month, and we have the Wyoland Water Conservation Challenge going on right now in actually several cities throughout the region, but Manhattan Beach for sure. So we want people to make sure you sign up to mywaterpledge.com. And four easy steps, four clicks to say how you would save water at home or on your property, and then that helps enter the city into this mayor's challenge to show how many of our community, how many residents here can pledge to save water. And so that's going on all throughout the month of April, and you will also find the icon for that on our city website.
Awesome. That is so fantastic. Sona Coffee, Environmental Programs Manager for the City of Manhattan Beach. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you both. I appreciate it.
It was wonderful having you. You are a fountain of information and amazingly accomplished. Jackie and I were quite impressed by your resume.
Oh, very well. Thank you.
It's wonderful. We have some real environmental chops here in the South Bay. We'll have to have the Environmental Programs Manager from the City of Hermosa Beach on the show at some point. Maybe the two of you could be on, and we could talk about the growing number of city positions in this area and the impact that will have. So thank you so much, Sona. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you both. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. And, of course, it's the weekend, so...
It's the weekend!
The weekend's coming! We'll be with you next week. But for this week, we're signing off. Have a fantastic weekend. It's going to be a little rainy and drizzly. You'll have your own opportunity to walk in the rain, and it's going to be fantastic. Enjoy. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you all next week. Bye-bye now.